nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here?
Nothing to see, nothing to see, nothing to see, nothing to see.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here. Experimental radio from NASCAD University. This episode is entitled Jack Derrida is Not Your Friend. This episode may contain language that some may consider offensive. I'm just saying that Jack Derrida is not your friend.
Babylon. 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 Dap. Babylon. 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 Dap.
Make a work that's not about the futility of protest? The scam of neutered protest? The constant driving shame and failure of protest? You want to make a history document? You want to assert historical value for your particular protests? By connecting it to a hole that loses and loses. You are the Million Man March of Civil Rights because, lowly satellite that you are, you left your keyboards and you roam the city streets pantomiming the idea of protest that has been devilishly televised to you. Yeah, the alt-right radical news. Yeah, the alt-left radical news forums. Yeah, the alt-right radical news. Yeah, the alt-left Babylon. Radical news forums.
Babylon.
The frank, earnest message Babylon. Boards. Always spaced out collectivist dictum used when talking. Always an us versus them. Has called you to the streets. Has called you to join in. But the yearning is not enough. You do not belong. The black bloc clothing attire and flag sheets are not enough. Asserting a teleological dimension to all your vain, feeble rah-rah-rahs will not excuse the failure of your project. The weakness of your program is assertively counter-revolution. You comfort the powerful by not being able to shift grains of sand as they move mountains and build utopias in the desert. How can you dramatize the history of anarchist protest without staring grief-stricken into the face of how innocuous your demands have been deemed? Do you have no shame because you pray for failure? Are you pranksters that only want to toss eggs at demigods? Is this some sort of fucking social club that loves its delusions more than wants what it wishes for? Is failure so expected that it is immediately accepted and celebrated? Are you would-be martyrs? Police state masochistic clowns? When the protest is crushed, you lick your wounds and you post them saliva wet and stinking to the web next to your bandanaed faces and sly nicknames, espousing how careful you need to be because you're so fucking special. Oh, you're so, so special. We can never fail because bad press is good press. We're just trying to start a conversation. We serve a function of balancing out the extreme right. We can't fit in. So politically, this is all we have. This weirdo freak stance. This rebel yell. We aren't sexy and suave no matter how many girls don dragon tattoos. The myopia of the radical left. Parrots. We can never lose. We can never lose. Because boots to on our faces is victory. Agitation is necessary. Violence is desired. We can never lose because this is a dress-up. This is a game. They wear their costumes, we put on ours. Demonize the protest crushers, the fingers of the elites, the baton and plexi-shielded pigs, oppressors, bullies, go home. What is a protest? What does a protest mean? Differentiate protest for me. Come on, tell me, what's not a protest? Is a riot a protest? An art performance? Military parade? Holiday parade? Marathon concert? Fucking come on. Speech? Camping trip? Music video? Ah, fuck! Mob mentality. Terror rule. How is the act of protest any less brutish and callous than the ruling class? What are you doing by protesting? How many people does it take to protest? What is an effective protest? What is an ineffective protest? What does it mean when someone loses their life while at a protest? Is it a good idea to bring protection to a protest? What is a fucking counter-protest? Are protests binary? Protest counter? Protest, protested, counter-protest, spectator. Just tell me, what are you doing?
Who the
exactly.
hell? That's a good
exactly.
Yeah, say that to the microphone.
I'm just saying that Jack Derrida is not Derrida. Your friend.
Who the hell is Jack Derrida?
Lossless.
Jack, playback. Jack Derrida, like, I can't believe he would say that to you.
Jack is a wastrel and a scoundrel.
I mean, that's putting it mildly, honestly. You're being too polite if you ask me.
I'm just saying that Jack Derrida.
It's really disappointing.
He's not your
friend. After everything they told us in school and in the book clubs and on the internet, I don't know.
When Oprah introduced me to Derrida, the first thing that I found strange was, one, what was he trying to sell?
Jack knows all about the preference.
And two,
that's what
who
Jack
is Karl Marx?
I believe that what Derrida tried to show in one of his seminal papers from 1974, which is an early period of deconstruction, that Karl Marx is indistinguishable from Colonel Sanders. It's an important paper, but ultimately unconvincing, because Jack Derrida is not your friend. I'm just saying that Jack Derrida is not your friend.
What the hell is Jack Derrida?
Yeah, Derrida hit me with his car once. Back in 78, I was at a crosswalk and I don't know, I didn't know it was him at the time, but he just came barreling down on me and the sun was in my eyes. I couldn't see, there was a car coming. I had the right of way anyway. he hit me, blew out both my kneecaps. He's not my friend, no. He drove away without sharing insurance information. Bastard!
Another early project of deconstruction involved Jacques Derrida and his research group at the University of Paris, who exhumed the bones of Karl Marx and moved them to Southern California, where they were placed in the grave of Colonel Sanders. At the same time, the bones of Colonel Sanders were taken to Karl Marx's grave in London and reinstated there. He never told anybody this. It was never published, but it's a rumor that's been going around academia for many years now.
It's the kind of rumor that, lacking substantiation, might be immediately dismissed. But of course, in this case, there is sufficient evidence to support these claims. And when investigation revealed the rumors to be at least partially true, Well, the press went wild. They nearly broke down a front door or a back door, etc.
I think the slip of the tongue there that you made interesting enough about the back door, something Jack Derrida, of course, very, very fascinated with, given that his name is sort of a word meaning derriere, back, coming in the back way, and he would have appreciated your homage to his name in that wonderful Freudian slip.
Now we have, the ghost of Derrida is no longer operating, and, it's been displaced, and now we have a half-ghost, a hybrid Colonel Jack Derrida Sanders phantom.
Ha! Jackie would get up on the table. These are at these drunken wine and cheese events. He'd be upsetting the candles and the liver flambé, and he would suck the bones of Karl Marx's fingers and exclaim that death and callousness are the ingredients to the undercurrents of continental philosophy in the 19th century, and he would laugh, and spittle would come out of his mouth, and everyone would just be around collecting the spittle on their faces, and they'd be grinning, and people would just start undressing. And this is the time when the cameras would come out and the pop flashes, and then people would start smoking cigarettes, just rapidly, rapidly smoking cigarettes as the spittle struck their eyes, and people would just be happy, happy once and for all. And that was the good days, though.
I remember the way that his wisdom through spittle would rain down on me and those around me. It was intoxicating, to say the least. I couldn't get enough of it. Ugh.
Many graduate students were under the impression that Jack Derrida was their closest friend. I interviewed 319 of his former students, and each one of them told me that they personally thought that Jack Derrida was their BFF. And that cannot be true. That cannot be substantiated in any objective manner. And this is why I've come out. My new book, Jack Derrida Is Not Your Friend. And I'm telling truth to power. And it's upsetting a lot of people. And I'm sorry about that. But the truth has to be told. Jack Derrida is not your friend.
Jack would come to the classy lecture night, 20 minutes late, covered in facial hair and just wearing this big grin, and he would barely give a class. He wouldn't want to stand up in front of the class. He wanted to sit with us. He wanted to buddy-buddy. The real class happened in the jacuzzis and the bathhouses when Jack would really, really start teaching. He would just go off, drinking champagne, screaming at the staff, breaking bottles. People were cutting their feet on the glass. Jack Derrida, what a class act.
I tried to press charges at the time. The injuries I sustained following one of the jacuzzi sessions, as they were known, the injuries that I sustained from stepping on the glass from one of the champagne bottles led to me losing all sensation and control of my left leg. It was a bloodborne infection that started in the sole of my foot from the cut that I received from Jack's damn broken bottles. I was drunk on wisdom. I was drunk on knowledge. I was drunk on his mere presence, and I didn't even realize that I was bleeding, and I neglected to treat the wound. One thing led to another. There was some flesh-eating disease. I suppose I was genetically predisposed towards susceptibilities to these things, but ultimately, his lack of compassion proved to me that he was not, and never will be, certainly not now, my friend. Jack Derrida is not my friend. He's not your friend either.
No. Jack was a nice guy. He would drink, he'd smoke. He had compassion for the arts, for people. He'd give money to some poor guy on the street. He's a good guy. I mean, how many people dig in their pockets for change? Well, maybe people don't have change, they use their cards, but he'd give money to people. He was a bastard, but he was a nice guy. I'm sure of it. Didn't everybody write about him? You write about a guy a lot. I'm so confused about this guy.
In a way, he is here and not yet here, to be deferred, to be determined.
Deconstruction locate meaning?
It doesn't. It just destroys all the meaning.
Microphone.
I'm just saying that Jack Derrida is not your friend.
Who the hell is Jack Derrida?
Jack Derrida was one of the most famous, controversial, but also wise figures in recent French intellectual life. He invented a way of doing philosophy that he called deconstruction, which fundamentally altered our understanding of many academic fields, especially literary studies. Derrida was born in 1930 in El Biar, a suburb of Algiers, in what was then French colonial Algeria. His family were Jews. His father a salesman for a local wine firm. He was initially slow at school and harbored dreams of becoming a professional soccer player. Derrida, like all other Jewish children, was forcibly excluded from his lycée and spent a lot of his time at home with his mother. He was hugely glamorous, a good-looking man with great taste in raincoats and haircuts. He had a rich, diverse, and complex love life.
It was the night before the famous line in the sand that George Bush had made to the Iraqis. And I was drinking in the Shark Bar in the Lower East Side in New York. And everybody was in a funny mood. There was a general feeling of anticipation about what would happen next. People were saying that tomorrow morning we'll wake up and there'll be Iraqi soldiers driving up and down Broadway, machine gunning people. People said the water was going to be poisoned. Anyway, at that bar, I noticed that there was this woman who I met in Chicago who'd been a graduate student with Michel Foucault. And she wasn't a very nice person, and I tried to avoid her in general, but she was being fondled by a dwarf. It was the weirdest, surreal image that I had ever came across, and I always somehow equate the Gulf War with this image of a Foucault scholar being fondled by a dwarf in the Shark Bar on the Lower East Side. Anyway, because it was a small bar, we ended up talking, and she told me that she'd just been over to visit Jacques Derrida in an apartment in New York that he had been renting. And she knocked on the door, and who came to the door but Gayatri Spivak. And she was basically in lingerie, and she could see through the doorway that Jacques Derrida was also, you know, reclining in the back in a ward, you know, some kind of silken bathrobe, and so I'm convinced more than ever that Jacques Derrida is no one's friend. What kind of person sleeps with his translator?
Okay. So, let me paint the scene for you. It was 5 a.m., Eastern Prague. Fog covered the streets, and we were just wandering the cobblestones. He was wearing a typewriter on one of those shoulder strap cases. The car windows, the front doors were all coated in morning dew. Thick. Wet. And Jack was looking for some action. He had that crazy look in his face. Sylvester, a good friend of Michel Foucault, was just on Jack's case the whole night. You have no system. You're a cigarette butt collector of greater men. You wear a tie when you drink at Alfie's. You know, that kind of thing.
I wasn't gonna hit you, don't worry.
Well, everyone knows Jack has a temper. He's a good guy, but he's got a temper. And he is... this guy gets kind of drunk, he gets hungry, and he gets mean. Susan Sontag was there anyway. Jack comes over, he takes his typewriter, and he just starts hitting Sylvester in the head. Hitting Sylvester, hitting him and hitting him, 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 hitting him and hitting him. Keys are flying everywhere, the sound of metal. And we were trying to pull him off it, but we didn't get him off in time. Sylvester ended up in the hospital 3 months. Never be the same. Jacques Derrida is not your friend.
Who's the good boy? Hello, this is Jack. Down, Jack. Down, boy.
I have a 7-year-old Maltese poodle mix named Jack, and named after the famous Jack Derrida, of course, naturally. And what's that? What's that, boy? Oh, you want to go for a walk? You want to go for a walk? Stop. Down. Down, boy. Sit. Sit. He's a fairly well-behaved boy. A little excited today, of course, but it goes without saying that Jack Derrida, my dog, is my friend. My best friend. Okay, let's go. Okay. Okay, come on, boy.
Yes, deconstruction is interested in the idea that meaning breaks apart. If you look too closely at deconstruction. Now, where does deconstruction locate meaning?
It doesn't. It just destroys all the meaning.
Deconstruction, aporia, and logocentrism.
He's probably the most controversial
because
Derrida wrote 40 books, all of them abstruse and subtle.
I came in like a wrecking ball!
He's still an
emerging artist
because
music
defined
who
he was.
Music
was something
other people
like
Jack
sad,
lonely,
and
deconstructed
paper
work
dark
enough.
Jack
he
burned
all
Jill's
Facebook
paper
down
and
spiraling
down.
Jack
went
insane
white
in
one
work
afterward.
His
TV
printer
and
washing
machine
powder
constructed
plans
all
their associating
means
relations
materials
were
hard to
wire
until
a ton
of
began
to
ferment out.
Coalesce
and
permeating
the
jack
flip
electrodes
Facebook
had
picture
contained
for
his
laptop
computer.
Jack
stole
released
several
hundred
posts
online
footbook
and
regretfully
it's
smelly
interculture
permaculture
difference
franchi
culture
stick
mass
burial
positionality
in
burying
context
becomes
redundant
textually
and
spontaneous
stops
fermenting
word
is
Alright, Jack Derrida is not your friend!
I told you, Jack Derrida is not your friend!
He is my friend!
No, he's not!
I met him!
Jack Derrida is not your friend!
I met him on Facebook!
No!
I did!
He's also dead!
What? He added me back! It said it was the official page! He is! Look!
He's pretending to be.
Just look! Oh my god, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about!
He's not offended.
Just look at my Facebook page. It's verified by Facebook.com.
Jack is bad.
Would Mark Zuckerberg lie to me?
I don't care. Jack, I'm after.
He's not your friend either.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, experimental radio from Nascat University. This week's episode was entitled, Jacques Derrida is Not Your Friend. This episode was written and performed by Mark Hines, Jessica McDonald,
Raph McDonald, William Brewer, and David Clark. Sound design was by David Clark. This episode included sound collages produced by the Media Toolbox class at NASCAD University. Nothing to See Here is produced by David Clark at NASCAD University. Please tune in again next week for another episode of Nothing to See Here. For previous episodes, please search for Nothing to See Here Radio on SoundCloud.com. And please friend us on our Facebook page, Nothing to See Here Radio.